Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, greetings. This is your host, Elohim. I'm sorry I didn't get on the air earlier. We had a problem with the switchboard. I'm on the air now, and I'm going to be on the air for about an hour here today. This is our first broadcast. I wanted to be on time, but it just didn't go that way. So we're going to just... just going to do about an hour here today, and next week, hopefully we can be on time and we'll make it, why can't I work the switchboard right? The switchboard's a little more complicated than I thought. So we're going to get started here. This is Elohim, and this is what you call you might call it a religious organization, but we're not. Religion means way of life. So our way of life is peace, honesty, reciprocity. This is our way of life, you know. Our way of life is about love, and that's what it's all about. Now, there are certain things that we have to address or say to you so that you can understand exactly what's going on and know what we're talking about, how to understand what we're doing and how we're doing what we're doing. First of all, the biggest trick that they have played on us is when they told us that we were created. We were not created. We are energy beings, all of us. And energy cannot be created or destroyed. So if we're energy beings and energy cannot be created or destroyed, how were we created? We were. So, because if you feel as though you were created, you are less than and not equal to. So you're always in a subservient mindset. Now, if you weren't created, that means that you yourself is a creator. So understanding that you are a creator, that means that you can create your own reality. You can create whatever you want, when you want, how you want it. And and it will help you along the way, because if you have to wait and pray for somebody to create something for you, a lot of times it don't get done. The way the universe works, we're going to start there. The way the universe works is that you are in control of all of the energy that permeates the entire universe. And when you ask for something, the universe goes to work to bring that into existence. The problem is we ask for something one day and ask for something else the next. So we lose what we asked for the day before to get what we wanted today. So what you have to do in order to be successful at gaining what you want is to go to your end game, figure out what's the conclusion of your efforts and where you want to be at a certain particular time and what you want to have. And then you go back to the beginning and go step by step as to what you're going to need to get to the end of where you're going. This way you won't be changing directions every 5 minutes. Well, I want this and I want that. And you'll be able to get what you want. And the universe will bring into existence for you, because you are a creator. You are in control of your life and what's going on. Now, there is evil out there. Now, evil is when somebody forces their will on you. Now, anytime somebody forces their will on you, that's evil. And that's what's been going on for the last, for a few thousand years. People have been forcing their will on you through manipulation, kind games, and every doggone thing else, you know. And in order to prevent that from happening, you have to develop a whole new thought process. And that's what we are about. The name of the organization that we're dealing right now is called Tyrannical Church of Christ and Allah, TCCA. It's the Tyrannical Church of Christ and Allah. That sounds a little weird, because the Muslims and Christians are out there fighting and killing each other. Yes, that's because the gangs, who are thugs, who are running these areas, are using these religious institutions as a means to propagate their wicked agendas, you know. So in order to prevent that from happening, certain things have to take place. First of all, let's talk about what a lie means, okay? Because we got a lie, he, a lie is a great, he's a cherishing, sustainer of the world. Well, a lie is not a he or a she. Let's start right there. A lie is everything in the universe at the same time. Think about that. Every microbe, every thing that you can think of in the universe, that's what we call a lie, because a lie is energy. All energy is a lie. So, which means that you are a lie. Everything in the universe is a lie. This is how they get us confused. They say, Allah created us. No, Allah didn't create you. You are the universe expanding. You are an expansion of the universe. You are energy expanding itself so that it can experience what's going on out there through different eyes and through a different methodology, through a different venue, through you. So this is why a lot of the holy people say God works through you. But energy flows through you. You are energy in motion. That's what you are. You know, you are an energy being. And so that's actually what Allah is. So when they say Allah, he, Allah is a cherishing, sustainer, and Allah created, no, that's the hype, okay? That's the hype, and that's not where you should be at mentally if you're trying to develop into what you're supposed to develop into. Once again, I'd like to apologize for not getting on the air on time. I got on a half an hour late. I had to delete the episode that I had coming up and create a whole new one. I didn't realize that until the last minute. So until about 3:30. So we're on the air now. And like I said, I will have to apologize again. So you can actually, this episode will be archived and you'll be able to go on and get it. Now let's talk about Christ. We talked about Allah for a minute. Let's talk about Christ. Now, if Allah is the energy of the universe, everything in the universe is Allah, is energy, the consciousness of the universe is called Christ consciousness. That's why it's called divine energy, because it's Christ consciousness. And why we say Christ consciousness? The Egyptian spell Christ, K-R-S-T, means that you're crystallized into one consciousness with the universe. That's what that means. You have a conscious understanding, a conscious awareness of what's going on around you and what everything is. Don't it seem strange that no matter what level we're at, 1 year, the next year, we're at a higher plane. The next year, we even go higher and get more and more and more. We are unlimited beings. There's nothing we can or cannot do. Because of who we are. We're literally the universe expanding itself. So we can call ourselves Allah, the all, because that's what we are. You know? It's been taken out of context because anytime somebody wants to lead you, then they're on the wrong side of this thing. Because you don't need leaders. You have to become a leader to lead yourself, but not to lead other people around. Now, if you're doing something, and there's something that you're doing is special, and you're creating a lot, and other people want to create what you're creating, then you can guide them into what you're doing if you want to do that. But they don't need leaders; they need guidance. So, if a person is going to guide you, then they're not your overseer; they're not your overlord. Do what I tell you, or so on, so on, so on. So that doesn't work anymore. You have to become your own leader. But to be your own leader, you have to actually deal with leading yourself, okay? And that's what it's all about. You have to lead yourself into what you're trying to do, into what you're trying to become. And trust me, you can become anything you want, okay? A lot of things are set up so it's more difficult for us to accomplish certain things because of the way this culture is set up. We're talking about the United States culture. This culture is kind of tough because it's a class system. The class system is set up to control the population, to control who be successful and to cut off the ones that don't want to be successful. It's a terrible situation. The class system is bad. India had a class system. There's quite a few countries that had class systems, and the class system is really, really, it's really bad, you know? So it would be nice if we had a classless society where everybody is on an equal, where the playing field is equal. But the only way to do that is to take the money out of the game. You know, if you take the money out of the game, whereas everybody working, you can just go ahead and get whatever you want, and it costs no money, just go ahead and dial it up, and it comes to you, then that will level the playing field. There will be nobody hungry, no starving people, you know. Poor, now see, if you make under $100,000 a year, you're poor, okay? You're poor. Poverty is the destruction of the poor. See, so when you are, if you don't have no money and you can't find a job, you ain't got no work, you're in poverty. And when you're in poverty, people can force you to do almost anything they want, you know, for a few dollars so you can eat and survive. Because when you get hungry, you'd be amazed at what you'll do to fill that belly, to survive, to keep yourself eating. You know, you'll fight, you'll kill, you'll rob, you'll murder. And this is not really who you are, but you're being forced into that situation because of this class system that we have set up, you know. So things are going to be different in time. Right now, we have to concentrate. We have to focus. We have to come up with a new process in order to handle what's going on out here, you know. People ask me, well, you follow the teachings of Jesus. I said, some of the teachings, you know. Well, do you believe in the teachings that you follow? I said, well, I believe in what I can verify. Right? And this is very important because this will aid your thought process so that you can get some of the things that you want. Do you believe in Jesus, the Christ? Now, I say Jesus, the Christ, because Jesus Christ, there's no Jesus Christ in antiquity. You can go back and research the name Jesus Christ, and you ain't going to find nobody. His name was Yahshua ben Bandera. That was his name. And you can research that name. You can find out all the information about Yahshua ben Bandera if you want, you know? So this is what we're talking about. They do little things to throw you off. See, Christ is not a last name. Christ is a title. It's something that you are, something that you become, the Christ consciousness. You develop into your consciousness, whereas you're living a life where you know how to love and know what love is, you know? And that's when you become a Christ. And it makes a big difference. You begin to control the energy around you, and the things that you can do physically actually becomes amazing, you know? So we need to deal with the Christ consciousness, and we need to develop a better thought process so that we can better deal with things. We won't be at odds with each other. We won't be fighting and arguing. We won't be creating a whole bunch of drama. You know, that just won't be happening. Okay. And once again, I apologize for being late. I couldn't get on the air until 3:30. And I know a lot of you called at 3 o'clock, and there's no show scheduled for the next 24 hours, but it's not good about that. The first show. And it kind of threw me off a little bit, you know? So let's talk about this thought process for a minute, okay? Now, the thought process that we're dealing with is that if somebody asks you, somebody asks me, you know, I'm just dealing with myself here. Somebody asks me, do you believe in the Bible? I said, no. Then why do you follow some of the things in the Bible? I say, I only believe what I can verify. I can't verify what's in the Bible, nor can I verify what's in the Quran or any other holy book, because the people that wrote the books aren't here. In order for me to verify what Mark, Matthew, Luke, John, and Moses said, I have to ask Moses, Mark, Luke, Matthew, and John. I can't ask them because they're not here. See what I'm saying? They were talking about Jesus. Can't ask Jesus, you know? He's not here either. You know, I'm talking about there's a lot of stories about Jesus, but the Jesus I'm talking about was a man just like me and you. He was a man just like we are, follow what I'm saying? And he lived his life, and he moved on, you know? Now, we can contact, you know, our ancestors. Jesus has become an ancestor, so we actually can contact him. But it's very difficult to get clear information when you're contacting the ancestors like that. Everybody don't have that ability. You know, and that's something that we have to grow into, you know. So I'm not saying you can't contact Jesus, Mark, Matthew, Luke, John, or Moses. You can because they're ancestors. And the ancestors We don't actually die. We just move on to another beginning. So you can actually contact them, but everybody don't have that ability, okay? So for right now, what I'm saying is that until you can verify what a person is saying by talking directly to the person, then what you need to do when you go into the Bible, the Quran, Bhagavad Gita, Aspi, all the books that we read, when you go into those books, take out what's going to make you a better person and leave the rest there, because you can't verify whether the books have been tampered with or not, because you don't know. You know, you just can't believe everything that you read. And most scholars will tell you that, you know. You believe what you can verify. If you can't verify, if it'll make you a better person, take the information and add it to what you are, if it's going to make you a better person. And that's what we're talking about. What's going to make us a better person? You want to become better. You want to become a better person year after year after year after year until you're walking as Jesus, until you're walking as a Muhammad, until you're walking as a Buddha, until you're walking as a Hare Krishna, you know what I mean? But it's a process. And as you develop the process, it starts with your thought process. It starts by the way you think. So that's what we're dealing with right now, your thought process. Believe what you can verify. If you can't verify it, it's information. Use it or not use it. But don't get so hung up on it that you're going to fight and kill somebody over the information that you can't even verify it to be actually accurate. The only way you can verify information that you have to talk to the person that put out the information. You got a lot of religious leaders out there with books. They wrote books. Now, you can verify what they're saying because they're still here. They're alive. You can call T.J. Jakes or Joe Olson and say, hey, man, did you write this? And they'll say, yeah, I wrote it. And this is what it said. What does it mean? You can verify, okay? So now, if you want to believe what he's saying, that's fine, because you can verify what he's saying if it's his information. I'm not talking about his interpretation of different things, you know what I'm saying? But that's his information. If he put out some information that hasn't been out there before, you can call them and verify and see what's going on, you know, and that works. If somebody tell you something, well, John said so-and-so, so-and-so, well, you call John. John, did you say so-and-so? John said nothing. Then information the other person got you is unverifiable. John denied saying it. So this is why we don't get into a lot of he say, she say, I say, because it gets a little crazy sometimes, you know. You be calling somebody, ask them, did they say something, and they're going to call the other person, why you tell so-and-so, I said so-and-so, and you know, I didn't say nothing like that. Well, that's what I heard. And it gets a little crazy sometimes. So your thought process is very important. Believe what you can verify. If you can't verify it, it's just information for you to use or not use. All right? If it'll make you a better person, use it. If it won't make you a better person, then leave it alone. Don't just follow because it's in a particular book. You don't follow something just because it's in a Bible. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they got information in there that I would never ask somebody to do. Like part of the Bible was this, a person would sacrifice his son on the altar. That's unconscionable. That's unthinkable. Information like that, leave it in the Bible. Just leave it there. You don't want information like that because that's not something that you want to do. You know what I'm saying? They went to war and killing and murdering each other. That's in the Bible. Leave that alone, okay? When you get into the teachings of Jesus, talk to part of the red where they say Jesus said so-and-so, so-and-so, okay? Jesus or Yahshua, that's his name in Hebrew, and in English it's pronounced Jesus, and other languages it's pronounced like Jesus in Spanish, but it's different, but it still means Jesus. You follow what I'm saying? There's no Jesus Christ. Let's get that clear. There is no Jesus Christ, okay? Because Christ is not a last name. There was a Jesus, the Christ, who became Christ. Yes. If you go back and research Jesus Christ, I'm talking about that guy that got strung up on the cross where everybody's waving the cross around. That person don't exist. There was no Jesus Christ. There was a Yahshua ben Tadara. He existed. See what I'm saying? There was a Jesus, but not a Jesus Christ, because Christ is not a last name. Everything I'm telling you, you can go look it up and research it for yourself. You can check on Yahshua ben Vedera. Go check that out. You can find him. He's born in Egypt. They got been there temples and Egypt and everything, and his family and the whole nine yards. So some information you can check. Now, if you go checking on the Jesus Christ, you're gonna go. You get back to about when you hit Constantine. That's it. You know, when you get into Constantine, that's it. Don't go no further than that. Okay. Because there is no actual Jesus Christ. Okay. There was a Jesus, the Christ. And I'm saying it like that because Christ is not a last name. All right? So if you do the research, it's Yahshua ben Vedera. Now, the greatest thing that all of the scholars taught, all the wise men, all the gurus when they came, the greatest thing that they taught was you. The greatest thing they taught was love. Everything was about love. All the holy men and women who came, they talked about love, how to treat each other, be good to one another. They dealt with reciprocity, you know. This is what they dealt with, you know. But now, if they came and talked about love, and then people set up organizations using their name, and they're out here murdering, killing, and robbing, and stealing from people, putting people in slavery. That don't sound nothing like the people. It don't sound nothing like the people that came to bring you a message of love. Okay? Now, I'm going to just pause for about 10 seconds here because I want to check something out. So just hold on for about 10 seconds, okay? Now, something popped up on the dashboard. I'm going to read what it is. This is my first broadcast in a while. I've done this before, but everything is different, and I'm getting used to how to handle it. So I will be here every Sunday, broadcasting these shows every Sunday, so we can be talking. And the shows will be 2 hours long, okay? Now, I had certain shows set up, but because of the mishap with the board, the regular show that I had set up with the music and everything was knocked off, so I had to set it up again for next week. So now we're talking about love. Let's deal with love. Now, the thing about the show is that we're talking about love. We don't know how to love. Not that we haven't learned how to love. We don't know how to love because nobody ever taught us what love really is. See, love is an action word. So when you're talking about love, it's an act that you're committing on another person. You know what I'm saying? So love is the act that makes others feel good. Say that again. Love is the act that makes others feel good. Okay? So now, when you first get in a relationship, right? When you first get in a relationship, oh, you're treating each other real nice, you're going out to dinner, you're buying each other stuff, and she's cooking for you, and you're buying her little stuff and everything, you're acting so nice. Then y'all sleep together, have sex, and y'all become your hookup, boyfriend, girlfriend, man and wife, and the first thing that comes to mind, I'm in charge, and you're mine, and you have to do what I tell you to do. And then you say, who is this person? Where did this person come from? I don't even know this guy. You know, I don't even know this person, this female. The other shoe drops. And he said, well, this ain't the guy that I was dating. This ain't the guy that I was going out with, and we were having so much fun and enjoying each other's company. Who is this person, you know? That's when the love stopped. See, the love was the actual acts that you were doing in the beginning. When you were taking each other out and doing different things and being nice to each other, that was the love. And this is what you're supposed to continue throughout the relationship. And, you know, part of my problem with part of the so-called religious institutions is that they're saying that the man is the head of the house. Well, that's a bunch of crap. Relationships should be based on equality. You're equal one to another. You're supposed to come together with with acts that make each other feel good, and you work together to build whatever you're trying to build. That's how it's supposed to work. Not one person trying to dominate the other one. That's what happens. The domination begins, the battle begins. Who's going to be in charge of this thing? You know, who's going to do what? Or you should do whatever your ability allows you to do. That's basically how it should go. Love is the act that makes others feel good. So if you're committing an act on somebody and it don't make them feel good, that's not love. See what I'm saying? And your heart gives off a hormone. And if it gives off a good hormone, if when you make that act and the act feels good to the other person, then hormones are released by the heart. Okay? And it's a good feeling. Sometimes the feeling is so good it makes your heart pump. Your heart gets to beating a little faster, you know, because it's just a good feeling being around this person. But when that changes, the heart gets off a different hormone. You know what I mean? Then all of a sudden it don't feel good no more. It's like a negative. I don't want to be nowhere near this person, you know? Because the hormone that the heart gives off will make you either more and more be attracted to the person, or it will take you away from the person. So each act that you commit, you have to be careful. Love is the act that makes others feel good. Now, you have to commit the right acts. If you're committing the right acts, you and your mate will stay together forever. As soon as you learn about what they don't like, you push the button. I just want to see if I can make him jealous, see if he loves me enough. But every time you do that, that hurts the relationship. Because those hormones are there, and the heart remembers this stuff. I'm saying the heart remembers. Now, you say, how can the heart remember? Now, I'm saying something else that you might not know. The heart has a neural network in it, and the heart actually communicates with the brain, okay? The heart actually communicates. It has a neural network in it. It speaks to the brain. So that's something that you might want to get into. That goes back into Egyptology and Ma'at, when they was talking about the heart being weighed as light as a feather. Follow what I'm saying? They were talking about the neural net that's in the heart and what the heart remembers and what evil that the heart has actually done, you know? So that's just food for thought. That's just something to think about. So I'm just dropping those small information so that you can hold on to, because love is very important. And we have, I said we've forgotten how to love, but I really don't think that we never knew how to love, because this society don't teach us how to love, okay? We get into this emotional thing, and, you know, you can, if you're committing acts that make the other person feel good, the other person not responding with the same kind of acts, don't get involved with that person. Because no matter how much you care about that person, the relationship is not going to work. Because sooner or later you're going to say, man, I got to get out of this. I thought I would really want to be with this person forever, but this person treated me like crap. I got to bounce out of this relationship. And so when you find a person that don't know how to treat you, don't know how to constantly commit to acts of love that makes you feel good, don't get involved. Back up off the thing, you know? Some people like to be treated bad, but that's a whole nother story. You know, some people got real problems out there. And maybe one day on the show we'll address some of those problems. And as the show progresses, and I'll be on time next week, and when people call in, they'll catch me on the show. They'll be able to catch the show. So then we'll address some of those problems with the questions and the answers that people will be asking, you know. Now, the next thing that we want to get into, we talked about love for a little while, right? We talked about the thought process, how to believe what you can verify, right? I want you to take from the books that's going to make you a better person. I'm just reiterating some of the things that we talked about, some of the things that we said for a minute, okay? Now, as I'm reading the Bible, this is something that I really want you to focus on, because this is important, okay? As you read these books, there's personalities that's coming out of the books, okay? When you read the teachings of Jesus, okay, and what Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John said that Jesus said. Now, we know Jesus didn't write nothing that's in the Bible, okay? You got to understand that first, okay? So you can't, you know, so anything that they're saying, you have to verify with Jesus, which you can't verify, okay? Let's just deal with reality here. Everybody don't have the ability to go and sit down and talk to Jesus and get answers, although you could, but everybody don't have that, okay? So let's just deal with reality. Jesus ain't here for you to verify those things, all right? So when you read the Bible, especially what's in red, that's what I suggest people to do. Just read what's in red, what they say that Jesus said. There's two personalities. There's a personality of a holy person that's there, okay? Then there's a personality of a psychopath. I'm just saying it, you know. I think one personality is Yeshua's or Jesus, and the other one is King James's personality, you know. Because one, you read one part, it says, oh, you love your brother, turn the other cheek, help those who spitefully use you, and all this kind of stuff. Then you turn a page and it says, I didn't come to bring peace, I come to turn brother against brother, mother against father, and, you know, those are two different personalities. One is a personality of a holy man, and one is a personality of a psychopath, you know? A leader. I don't know if you've ever read the 48 Laws of Power, but it tells you in there, if you want to be a good leader, if you don't have enemies, make some. Leaders have enemies because it's easier to gather your people around an enemy, you know, where you have something to fight against. It's easier to get your people together like that. And that's why most leaders in leadership books, they tell you if you don't have an enemy, make one, you know. But if you're not trying to lead people, then you don't need enemies, okay? That's another thing. See, because when you're building your heart, when you're building this love character that you want to be, you can't have enemies, all right? Now, there's people that are your enemies, but you don't have to be their enemies. Now, if you know that a person is your enemy, then you adjust yourself accordingly. Now, if I'm a black person, right, and we're talking about people in the Ku Klux Klan, now, they have perceived me as their enemy. I don't perceive them as my enemy, but I have to adjust myself accordingly because I know where they're coming from. So I can't just be around them without securing myself and watching out for what's going on because I don't know what they're up to because they have evil intentions. They want to force their will on other people. And so people with evil intentions, you have to adjust yourself accordingly, but you don't need to perceive them as your enemy. But you know that they're perceiving you as their enemy. So you have to be careful how you're handling yourself in that situation. Now, if you're a European, if you're a Caucasian, and you hang around the Black Panthers, now you know some of the Black Panthers don't care nothing about you. So don't perceive a Black Panther as your enemy, although you know they're perceiving you as their enemy. I'm just giving you these two examples, but they're two sides of the same coin, basically. Okay? So you don't want to perceive anything or anybody as an enemy, all right? But you have to be wise enough to know that some people view you as an enemy. Like if you want a snake, if you see a snake, I mean, you don't want to go up and try to pet, hey, snake, what's going on? You know that the snake will bite you, so you stay away from the snake. Leave the snake alone, let the snake go about its business. But you don't hate the snake, but you know that sucker will bite you, so you adjust your actions accordingly. When you see it, you get out of its way and let it go about its business. You don't want to get into a confrontation with a snake, if you can avoid it, because you know what the snake's agenda is. It's going to protect himself, and when they be biting you, that's basically what they're doing. They perceive you as a threat, and they're going to protect themselves, so they bite you. So rather than get into a confrontation with the snake, get out of the snake's way and let the snake go on about its business. So this helps you purify your heart. That's what I'm trying to get you to understand, how to purify your heart, how to deal strictly with love. Now, you need to teach this to the children at an early age. You need to teach them about love, teach them how to love, teach them what love is. And now that you're getting a different viewpoint of what love is, practice this. practice when you're with a person, only do things that make them feel good. Only do things that make them feel good. And that's so much better for you and for them. Okay? So we have a lot to take in. Now, what I'm giving you, it seems like it's kind of easy, but it's a lot to take in. Because some of this information you've never heard before. Some of you have, some of you haven't, but most of you haven't heard this information before. So it's not something that you can just say, oh, yeah, well, that sounds good. But you have to think about it. You have to think about it. Now, remember, you don't believe anything anybody says unless you can verify it. So you can go start verifying some of this information I'm giving you by your actions. Treat a person a certain way and watch your response. Okay. And one thing that that bothers me is when they say, when you know, in the books it says, treat others the way you want to be treated. You know. Now, I have to laugh at that because some people, I don't want them to treat me the way they treat themselves because they hate themselves. Smoking, drinking, the drama. Oh my God! Please don't treat me like that. So what I tell people, you know, treat me the way Jesus treated you. Now, if you treat me the way Jesus treated you, then we'd be on the same page because some people really don't like themselves. They hate themselves. They treat themselves awful, you know, and I wouldn't want them to treat me the way they treat themselves, you know. So that's why I'd be smiling when I hear that phrase, treat me the way you want to be treated, you know. So that's I'll be smiling about that because I know some people really don't like themselves. You got people committing suicide, all this stuff out there. Please don't treat me the way you treat you. Treat me the way Jesus treated you. Treat me the way Muhammad treated you. See what I'm saying? Treat me the way Buddha treated you. Treat me the way Hare Krishna treated you. Treat me the way the people who brought love into the world, who brought the teachings of love. Treat me the way they treated people. And then we'd be on the same page. We have some kind of barometer of how to treat people because growing up in a culture, in a society like this, it's very difficult to, based on what they're teaching, it's very difficult to treat people in a good manner because you don't know who's who. You be treating somebody real nice and they be playing you for a sucker, you know? So, I mean, you know, that's the whole thing. So you're saying, well, I want to treat this person good, but I don't want them to play me, you know? Well, you know the old saying, if you give a person enough rope, they'll hang themselves, okay? So you be who you are. And if they do that, then, you know, you have to cut that person off. If they try to play you for a sucker, just cut them off, you know? And don't be involved in that person that way no more, you know? Because nobody want to be played for a fool or a sucker, and people will do that. This is the culture. This culture here, not telling them who you're going to run into or what you're going to run into or what they're about, you know? And you can't go by the color of a person's skin. You can't say, well, all the white folks are evil, all the black folks are bad. You can't. You just can't do that because you're going to run into good white folks, you're going to run into good black folks. You run into bad black folks, you run into bad white folks. This is the nature of this culture. So you have to begin, like I guess Martin Luther King said it pretty good, you have to deal with a person based on the contents of their character. So what we're doing here today, what we're talking about on this show is character building. This thought process will help you build a stronger character. Okay? Now, we talked about the fact that we don't need leaders. You don't need anybody leading you around. You need guides, people that can help you get from point A to point B. But you don't need you don't need leadership. All these people out here that are sucking your money up and draining you for your cash, they'll tell you, you can't do it without leadership because they want to be your leader. You know what I'm saying? Anybody that wants to lead you is basically asking you to be their slave. I'm going to say it again. I know some of this stuff is hard to hear, but anybody that wants to lead you is basically asking you to be their slave. That's what they're doing, OK?
okay? Look at the church. I mean, look at the churches. Look at the mosques. Look at what's going on. We got a church and a mosque on every corner. People going to hell in a handbasket. I mean, it ain't changing the people's. It's not changing the people's hearts like it's supposed to. You know, people get married. The divorce rate in the churches and the mosques are higher than the people that don't go to church in the mosque. Something's wrong with this picture. There's something going on that you have to really stop and look at. When they're telling you and teaching you stuff, can this be verified? You follow what I'm saying? Like people say, well, God told me so-and-so and so-and-so. Can you verify that God told you that? They can't verify that. They can't verify. There's no way they can verify. You understand what I'm saying? So you have the thought process now. You're engaging in a thought process that's going to make you check what people are telling you. Check what people are saying. Is this verifiable? If it's not verifiable, then you say, if I did this, would this make me a better person? If it'll make you a better person, no matter whether God told them or where they got the information from, then take it. Keep it for your own if it's going to make you a better person. But if it's going to make you a servant or a slave to the person bringing the information, you got to think about what you're doing. You have to think about where you're going. You have to think about what's coming to you and what this whole thing is all about. Now, we're only going to be on the air. I'm only going to be on the air for about an hour. Normally, this is a two-hour session, okay? But since I got started late, and most of the people that I had to call in, you know, they called in earlier today. The show wasn't there, man. I called, you know. But I was half an hour late getting on the air. So even though I started working this out at 2 o'clock because I had everything set up, but I hit a button and something went crazy, and I just had to wipe out everything I did and start over again. And I didn't realize that. It took me half an hour to figure, well, it took me longer than that. It took me half an hour to figure that out, you know, why I wasn't getting on and why things weren't going where it was supposed to go. But I finally got it down. I know more about what I'm doing now here. This, the whole setup, now I used to do this before, but the whole setup is different now. So I have to get used to this setup. And I thought I had it down pat, but what can I tell you, you know? Okay. You might ask yourself, well, who am I to come on the air giving you this information? Who am I to be trying to tell you anything at all? Well, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a minister. I'm not a teacher. I'm a messenger. I'm just here bringing you a message. Now, we have the church. It's called Tyrannical Church of Christ and Allah. Right now, we're setting up an internet ministry right now. Okay, we'll have physical buildings sometime next year. But right now, everything is going to be through the net. Okay? We're messengers. That's all we are. We're just here to bring you a message. Now, the way our church is set up, the only leader that we have is Jesus the Christ. The only minister that we have is Jesus the Christ, okay? The only teacher that we have is Jesus the Christ, okay? Basically, what we're doing, we're bringing you a message. We just bring you a message, and we're bringing you a message of love. Message of love and message of hope. We want you to learn how to love. We want to give you the message of love so that you can begin treating each other a little better than the way you have been treating each other, you know, because we treat each other like crap. I'm telling you. We treat each other so bad sometimes that it's really, we really need to address the issue of love, you know. And when we try to get more and more into love, the wicked, okay, a wicked person is one that forces their will on you. That's evil. That's what evil is, okay? That's why slavery was evil, because you're forcing the will on another person. That's why when the British came here, all right, and began forcing their will on the indigenous people here, that was evil. The British were evil. They were committing evil acts. They were forcing their will on the people that lived here, okay? And this is still going on right now. Not just here, but all over the planet. You got slavery in certain parts of Africa, slavery in China. You got slavery all over the globe. There's slave traders live and well, you know, people forcing their will on other people. That's evil. All right? So, this is supposed to, in this country, it's supposed to be land of the free, home of the brave, and all that, but that's the hype. There's so much stuff going on here to blow your mind when you really start looking for what's the actual facts of what's happening here, okay? When you start looking at that, then you'll say, oh, man, I can't believe this is what's really going on. But it's really going on when you start checking things out, you know? The programs that they're running, the things that they're doing to people, it's just unconscionable, some of the stuff that's going on. Especially with the abortion hookup and all that kind of stuff, it's really bad, you know. So the message we're bringing to you and what we're trying to get you to do is to look, just open your eyes and ears and look at what's going on around you with a different thought process. They're telling me something. Can I verify it? All right. I'm talking to you on a radio show on the net. Can you verify it's me? The only way you can verify it's me is to be sitting here looking at me. Unless it was a video conference where we can see each other and you can verify it's me. It might be somebody using my voice. It's just a matter of thinking, can I verify this information? So you said, well, according to what I've heard, Elohim was on the air, you know? Are you sure it's Elohim? No, but they said he was Elohim. But you can't be sure unless you can actually verify the information. And that's the whole point of what we're talking about. You need to be able to verify information. When somebody tells you something, go and verify it. Now, I like to do a little commercial here. I suppose it's only 15 minutes, but I'm really off schedule here today. Now, I have a CD out, gospel CD called Jesus is Coming. All right, 911 emergency. Jesus is coming. Okay, we'll explain a little bit more about that later on. What do you mean by Jesus is coming? What are you talking about? How does that play into what you're saying? You know, so we'll get into that in a minute. But if you want to listen to the album, it's a new release. If you want to listen to it, the link is CD Baby. That's CDBABY. /CD/ Elohim Christ number 2, ELOHIMCHRIST 2, number 2. Just put the number 2 there, you know? And you click on that link, and that will take you to the site where you can listen to part of the song, decide if you want to support me by buying one of the albums or the record or something like that there. And this is how we're supporting the church. We're creating music, CDs, albums. We have books and stuff. That's where everybody does the same thing. So, but the music is pretty good. Now, in the music, we put tones that will help activate the pineal gland. So the more you listen to the music, the more those tones will begin to affect the pineal gland and begin to activate that third eye. You know, so the more you listen to the CD, the more your third eye will begin to awaken and open up. That's what the tones in the music was done. But the music is like, sounds like regular music, but if you listen closely, you'll hear the tones in the music that will activate your pineal gland. Okay, so that's what's going on with the CD, and that's the link. And that's sort of CD/CD. Elohim Christ 2. That's the link to take you on the net to find the CD. Okay. okay. That's my commercial. Now the name of our group is the Tyrannical Church of Christ in the Lie. We call ourselves TCCA. All right. Tyrannical Church of Christ in the Lie. And our message: put down your weapons of war. Muhammad and Jesus taught the same thing, so you don't need to fight each other. They came with a message of love, okay? Now, I want to talk about something that's very important for the next 10 or 12 minutes here. This is very important, so you need to listen to this very carefully, okay? when a person deals with spiritual energy, all right? that spiritual energy will allow them to accomplish things from a spiritual perspective. But when a person don't use the spiritual energy that's within them, that's permeating throughout the entire universe, what we call them Allah or Christ consciousness, okay? When they're not using that, then they have to go to the physical side to get things done. And when they go to the physical side, that brings about force. Because the physical, since they don't have spiritual energy to overcome a lot of things that's going on, they result to force. They force people to do their will. They take over things where your gangs and thugs and stuff like that did. They go to the physical because the spirit, they don't have the spiritual energy to overcome and get what they want without resulting to physical violence and forcing people to do their will. This is very important. If you're dealing from a spiritual perspective, you can accomplish whatever you want without going into the negative physical reality of making people or forcing people to do your will or making people do your will by force. All right? Now, that's it sounds kind of simple, but that's a big statement. All right? You have the spiritual side, where you can treat people with kindness and love and reciprocity, and you can grow and accomplish what you want. And you have the physical side, where you're forcing people, you're going to war, making people, turning people into slaves. That's the physical side, all right? You don't have to go to the physical side to get things done. You can do it from the spiritual side, right? I just want to throw that out there, because when you go to the physical side, love, you're actually taking love out of the picture. And most of the acts that you're committing don't make people feel good. You know, don't make people feel good about you, about what you're doing, you know. People will acquiesce out of fear, you know. They'll do what they have to out of fear. You threaten their family and their children, and they have to do it. They ain't got no choice. But people don't have no way to protect themselves, all right? So, but the best way to build, it's not the quickest way, but it's the best way to build is from the spiritual perspective. That's the best way to build what you're trying to do. Build what you do out of love. And that will give you a very strong foundation, and what you're building will last for a long, long time, you know. It will last a long time. Now, sometimes when you're on a spiritual plane and the physical people who are building from the physical side come at you, sometimes you have to go negative. See, you have to protect you in what you're doing. This is why in the Buddhist, they learn martial arts so that they can protect themselves from knuckleheads, because there's knuckleheads, the knuckleheads are always coming. So that's why I tell everybody, whether you carry a weapon or not, go down and get your license to carry. Not that you want to carry one. Most people don't need a weapon. They never do anything that requires them to have a weapon their whole life. Most people are like that, you know? But you need to have a license to carry just in case the physical side catches up with you and you have to protect yourself. And you can go buy your weapon or something just to protect yourself. You might not ever need to carry a weapon. You see what I'm saying? I'm not saying go get the license and go buy a gun. That's not what I'm saying. Get your license just in case the things flip and you have to protect yourself. That's what I'm saying, okay? I'm not advocating for people to walk around strapped down. So as soon as somebody says something to them, they pull out, you know, gunfight, okay, corral. No, that's not what I'm saying. But put yourself in a position so that if you do have to do that, you know, you don't have to fuss and fight with the police as well, okay? You have your license, and they stop you, it's not a problem, okay? But sometimes when the negative comes at you, you have to protect yourself. That's what has been happening throughout history, okay? We become so spiritual that when them thugs come, call themselves conquerors, they're number thieves and murderers. When they come, so-called conquerors, you're not in a position to protect yourself because you wasn't building weaponry and all that, because you ain't trying to hurt and kill nobody, you know? All you're trying to do is live and survive and take care of your family. that's basically what you're trying to do, you know? So, but we have to learn from those lessons. We have to be prepared for when the thugs come, right? Or you have to be prepared. Or, you know, just like the people sitting up in church, praying to Jesus. Here comes a guy sitting in a church, premeditated, stands up, starts shooting a whole bunch of people. Now, the negative came to them, but they were in no position to protect themselves. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, these people, if you arm everybody in their church, that weapon will never be used. It, weapon will sit someplace and nobody ever use it. But I'm saying when the time comes, you know, you need to be able to protect yourself. That's what I'm saying. If they had some kind of security in that church, it wouldn't have went down like that. When that guy stood up, they had people there that were able to protect those people in the church. Not, you follow what I'm saying? And so hopefully they'll learn the lesson that, yes, be spiritual, grow, but you must put yourself in a position to protect yourself at all times. And that's important, okay? And so we're winding down here. I'm only going to be on the air for an hour, so I only got about 5 more minutes left. So I want to say again, the name of the organization is Tyrannical Church of Christ and Allah, all right? We have the Christians and Muslims, spiritual people around the world, you know, put down your weapons of war. Stop fighting and killing each other, you know, because all of the leaders, the people whose names that you're killing and murdering in, they wasn't about that. Muhammad wasn't about the killing and the murdering. Jesus wasn't about the killing and the murdering. But yet, you got these knuckleheads who pumping you up and got you out here killing and murdering people. It don't make, you know, if you got the right thought process, it just don't make sense, okay? If the Christians were so bad, when Muhammad was in trouble, he sent his followers to a Christian king. He said, there's a Christian king in Abyssinia, go to him. They said, no one is wrong in his kingdom. He sent them to the Christians for protection from the idolaters because he knew the content for the character of the Christians that he was sending them to. See what I'm saying? They were literally following Yahshua ben Bedera. They were following Jesus. And if you follow Jesus, your heart becomes pure and pure. You know, you're not out conquering, killing, and murdering, and enslaving people in the name of Jesus. That's not what Jesus taught. He didn't teach that at all, you know? So the message that they brought has been misconstrued. So that's why we're here. We're messengers. We're here to bring you the message and put you back on course towards where you're supposed to go, okay? So with that, I want to say peace and love. We love you, and we'll be coming with more messages next week. And remember, love is and always will be